Christ Church. Hey, before you take a seat, say hi to three or five people right now. Say hi to three or five people right now. Right now, say hi to three or five people. Say hello to them. If you're watching from online, let us know where you're watching from. Send us an emoji. Say hello. Say hello. Say good morning. Good morning. If you've never seen them, say hello to them. Give them a high five. Give them a hug. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Woo! Well, good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling, crew? We feeling good? Yeah? You guys staying warm? Yeah, staying warm. I missed you guys last week. It was a little awkward not having church. It was the right call. I know. I get it. But I am glad to join in with you guys. I'm glad to worship with you as well. We got a few things going on before we jump into today's message. As you guys can see, we're celebrating baptisms today. Y'all celebrating baptisms. We got a few people being baptized. We got some students being baptized, some young people, teenagers being baptized after the 11 o'clock service. And, man, we're just excited for all the good that God is doing within the walls of our church. So, man, we're excited to celebrate that today. Hey, can you guys say hello to all of our friends who are watching online? Online family, we didn't forget about you. We love ya. We see ya. Let us know where you're watching from. Just got a couple things before we jump into today's message. We're closing out a sermon series we've been in, talking about growing, right? Committing and intentional growing for this year. And before we jump into that message, this Thursday, we're going to be picking back up, on our growth nights on Thursday evenings that we have been doing. We've taken a break from them due to the weather, but we're going to be picking back up this Thursday. We're going to be having our worship night. So if you want more of what we just did, this Thursday is for you. 6:30 p.m., come join us for our worship night. Our worship team's going to be killing it. They're going to be doing a great, great job leading us in the worship, in the presence of God. And so, again, if that is something you're interested in, come join us this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. here at the church. Also, starting next week, if you're looking for an excuse to invite a friend to church, starting next week, we are starting a brand new sermon series talking about family. Right? Talking about family. And the sermon series is called Family Dynamics. And we're going to be talking about comes to marriage and children and a little, just again, a little bit of everything. This is a great way for you and your family, but also for somebody that maybe it's an opportunity to invite them to church. Say, hey, man, your church, they're going to come and talk about family and get real about, you know, family and everything. And so if that's something, again, that interests you, take the time, ask God to put that person on your heart, invite them to church to participate and to be a part of it. Again, this is your first time hanging out with us. So if you have yet to connect with us, and you're looking to know more of who we are, what we're all about, and kind of what your journey looks like, whether you're here in person or watching online, make sure you fill out the connection card. They should be right in front of you, right in the seats, right in front of you, and fill out that connection card, turn it into our connection team, and they will make sure to get you connected. So today we are closing our series on what it looks like to grow, a year of intentional growth, right? We call that this is the year of trust. Trusting in the Lord and growing in that trust more and more. Today we're going to be closing out in 1 Peter chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible on you, you can go ahead and pull out your screen. I'm sorry, pull out your phone or your device, or it will be on the screen for you as well. As soon as I'm done reading, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord, in which you respond, thanks be to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. It reads like this. It says this, 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, verse 9, resist him, standing firm in your faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. Verse 10, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, secure you, strengthen you, and establish you. Verse 11, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you guys bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you because, Lord, there's no one or anything in this world that can offer and give what you can give. You are our source. You are the light. You are all in all. And we seek you above all to give us all that we need. And all that we need is found in your presence. Your personhood itself spills out everything we need. So, Lord, give us that need today. Fill that need in our hearts. For many of us, Lord, we have brought in so much into church, so much baggage and so much things that are just destroying our lives. But at the end of the day, Lord, we look to the hills. We look to heaven, to where our help comes from, the maker himself. You're the one who knows us. You're the one who guides us. And ultimately, you're the one who sustains us. Sustain us, O Lord. Bless us. Bless today's message. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I got a lot to say, so I'm going to jump right into it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, as you guys know, may be familiar with the scriptures. Peter is one of the original disciples. And at the time that he's writing this, he is now the uber big time apostle leading the church. But he writes this letter to many, many churches, and he's trying to give encouragement, right? He's trying to give encouragement, how to help them to move forward, right? There's a lot going on at this time, especially to the churches that he's writing to in specific, in their context. They're facing a lot of pressure from from the government level, from a societal level, from just so much pressure, and he's writing this letter to help them to move forward. And this year, what I want to do is I want to help frame for us, and what we've been talking about is what it looks like, once again, to be intentional about growing in the Lord, right? To be intentional about growing in our faith, right? That we said this is the year of trust. This is the year of growth. We were planted in Proverbs chapter 3. If you guys remember, I've been saying it every week, every single time. It's Proverbs chapter 3, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths what? Straight, right? Right? The key is trust in the Lord. And Peter, he's going to help you and I frame what that looks like more and more as we journey with God throughout this year, and to allow you and I to continuously grow the way that God calls us to. I've talked about this story before, and I'll talk about it again. A couple years ago, I was invited by a buddy to a gym that he belonged to. And he just invited me. He said, hey, man, come, get a workout. Well, I didn't realize that the gym that he invited me to was actually a boxing gym. See, I thought we were just going to go to, you know, your local recreational center where there's a pool and there's a sauna and there's some weights and a basketball court. No, there was a full-blown boxing ring, bags, punching bags. And I walk in, I'm like, are we in the right place? He says, I promise you, we're in the right place. Little did I realize, 20 minutes into the workout, exercise, whatever you want to call it, what I was not expecting, I was sparring with somebody already. Now, I need to tell you this. I have never, ever, 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 ever boxed before in my life. Never. I've watched it. I've been entertained by it. I've seen plenty of videos. But I have never had to, like, box somebody. I don't know what I'm doing, is what I'm trying to say. So here I am in the middle of boxing, and they're like, start. I'm like, start what? Like, what do you want me to do? Just to like, you know, what do I start, you know? And I remember immediately what I started doing, I just started kind of throwing a bunch of punches and everything. And I was moving. I was quick. But at the same time, as much as I was moving and as much as I was throwing punches, I kept getting hit. Right? And I remember hearing the guy on the sideline said, guard your chin, right? Because I kept getting hit on my chin, right? But here I am. I just kept attacking. I just kept throwing. I just kept jabbing. I just kept doing all these things. He's like, guard yourself, right? Like, you're getting beat up out there. And I said, no kidding. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm doing, right? I don't know where to start. I don't know how to box, right? And I was doing a lot of punching. But I wasn't doing a lot of guarding. That's what I'm trying to say, right? Because in boxing, I thought like the goal is to like, you know, just knock the guy down. But no, at the same time, you got to play some defense too, right? As much as you're trying to tag the guy in front of you, you also got to protect yourself. You also got to guard yourself, right? I did a lot of moving. But I was exposed, right? I was exposed. And in the same way that I believe this, growing in the Lord or growing in Christ is learning this discipline of guarding ourselves. It's learning this discipline of guarding yourself. Growth doesn't just require effort, it requires awareness. Growth doesn't just require effort, where efforts, yes, they you have to have it, but at the same time, you also must have awareness. And this year is not dependent on how much we do or how much we get accomplished or how much we move or how much we accomplish, but it also begins with us learning how to guard our hearts and our minds. Because can I tell you, friends, there's going to be a lot of things thrown at us this year. If not, there has already been some things thrown at us, right? There's already been things that thrown at us. And what the scriptures are going to teach us today, that we are called to spend a good majority of our time learning how to guard, learning how to protect. Because if not, we'll spend the year reacting instead of growing. If not, we'll spend the year reacting instead of growing. And I want to lead with this. A guarded life is a growing life in the Lord. That a guarded life, that the Lord calls us to with this intentional effort on our end, that a guarded life is a growing life in the Lord. And the Apostle Peter is going to teach us what it looks like to be on guard. So that when life tries to hit us, we're prepared. We're prepared. We're prepared to face the blows. We're prepared to face the disappointing conversations. We're prepared to face the bad news, right? We're guarding ourselves. And he starts off very early on in this letter in verse 6. Again, Peter is at the end of his letter. He started off encouraging them, and then he helps them to shape kind of what's going on in their lives. And here he is, again, at the end of the letter, encouraging them to continuously move forward. And he says this in verse 6. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so in due time he may exalt you. Let's stop right there. Keep that verse up for them. Verse 6. This is the hinge point of these verses that we are going to be reading. But we have to start here so we can understand the other verses that follow after this. He starts off, he says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, he's not talking about God's literal physical hand. If you read the Old Testament, God's hand is mentioned as symbolic. It's symbolic, meaning God's governance, right? How God governs over all. That he is in all, above all, but he's over all. Scriptures try to say. And his governance, or how God's mighty hand, it's his presence, his provision, his power. It represents all of that. What the mighty hand of God points to is God's active involvement in all facets of life, right? Universally, but also personally. He's the God that rules, leads, is over all, but not just universally, but also personally. So in this verse, or in this passage, we see very early on that Peter tries to get us to have this posture. And what's this posture? To be under God's hand, under God's protection, under God's provision, in God's presence. Because if you think about hand, like for instance, my little hand standing right, you know, right here, right? You can see it, but you're not under it. Because to be under something means to be near it. It means to have close proximity. To be under something means that you're near it. So here's Peter trying to tell us, listen, your guard, you know, the way to guard your life, the way to guard your soul, the way to guard your faith, and all the things we're going to talk about, it begins with this posture, being under God, being under the Lord, being near to him. A couple weeks ago, we took our kids to Great Wolf Lodge, and, you know, it's like, you know, kind of like a kiddie Kalahari, pretty much, if you never heard of it. It's out in Sandusky, and my three-year-old, as some of you saw running around here, my three-year-old is growing very ambitious lately. Like, it's kind of scary. You know, before he was just kind of doing, like, three-year-old kid stuff and, you know, just want to be all cute and whatnot. Now he's trying to do big boy stuff. We're at the pool, and he's in the kiddie pool, and he gets bored with it. He gets bored with it. He says, Dad, I want to go in the other pool. He says pool. He does not say L's yet. I want to go in the other pool. You want to go in the other what? You want to go in the other pool. And he's talking about the big kid's pool, right? This is the big pool. Like, it's like 6 feet deep. And I'm like, there's no way you're going in there. Little did I realize, I turned my head for 2 seconds. He is out of the little kid's pool, running to do a cannonball, no life jacket, into the big kid's pool. Yeah, right? Right, he thought, like, okay, like, this is what I want to do, right? And I tell you that story because unless my three-year-old is within arm's length, he isn't safe. Unless my three-year-old, my child, if he's not within at least arm's length of his father, of an adult, over someone, unless he's not within a close proximity of someone, he isn't safe. And here's what Peter is saying. Peter says this: there is no safer place to be than under God's mighty hand. There is no place to safer place to be than to be near God. Friends, if you want to guard your life, if you want to guard your faith, you want to guard your very existence, friends, it doesn't begin with you. It begins with who's above you and being under God's mighty hand. That's what Peter is saying. And Peter, in a way, he's kind of giving like this encouragement. An encouragement, but also a warning. What's the encouragement? The encouragement is God, right? Symbolically, his hand, there's not one moment in your life where God is not in, active, or involved. There isn't one moment in your life where God is not involved and God is not in charge. That's the encouragement. But what's the warning? To try to be in charge yourself. To do what my son did, come out of the kiddie pool and to jump into the deeper end on his own. On his own. And that's the language Peter wants us to do. He wants us to draw confidence, knowing that there is a greater hand at work in our lives. But we got to be close to that hand. We got to be close to that hand. And then he says, how do we do that? How do we be under God's mighty hand? Bring up verse 6 again for them, Logan. He says this: the way you stay close to God,
Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Point number one. Here's how we're going to guard ourselves this year. You ready? Guard yourself from the illusion of control. Guard yourself from the illusion of control. Because here's the thing about humbling ourselves. It is coming to this reality, I do not control everything. There are things that I am responsible for, but I'm not ultimately in charge. I'm responsible for my family. I'm responsible for how I take care of my body. I'm responsible for how I take care of my mind. I'm responsible for how I take care of my faith. But ultimately, in the end, above everything, I am not the hand that governs all things, right? I am not the one who determines the outcome. There is someone else that has that authority in my life, right? It is acknowledging and it is guarding ourselves. Because here's the thing that we're going to get in trouble with this year is trying to take control of everything. Again, God doesn't call us away from responsibility, but he's the one who determines the outcomes. And friends, Peter wants you and I to be freed from this illusion. Everything depends on you, which it doesn't. Which it doesn't. Everything is about you. Having your way, right? But he says you have to humble yourself. A couple of days ago, my son and I, after I picked him up, scariest thing happened. We're driving home, and of course, my kid, he unbuckles his seatbelt. I don't know why kids like taking off their seatbelt. It's like the most annoying thing. Last thing I need to do is go to jail, okay? Pastor on the news going to jail for his kids not being, okay, anyway. But anyway, we're driving, and he takes off his seatbelt, and I look back. And as I look back, my knee hits the steering wheel. We turn a little bit, and we slip on black ice. And we begin to do donuts, right, in the middle of the street. And then we end up in this ditch, right? And we're in this ditch. And I'm looking at my life just flashed before me. I'm scared. I'm freaking out. My son's in the back crying. He's saying, it's my fault. I'm the reason why we're in the ditch. I kind of said, you're kind of right. But anyway, he's like, I'm the reason. I'm so sorry. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What do we need to do? What? All of this started panicking, right? And I remember in that moment, I kept telling them, like, calm down. Slow down. No, what are we going to do? We're stuck. We're never going to get out of here. Now we have to sleep here. That's what he said, you know? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I said, listen, son. At the end of the day, we're here, but we are going to get help. Right? And what I wanted to teach him in that moment, and what I think sometimes what you and I need to learn, is that this is what it's like to be under God's care. It's not that you ignore that there are problems. You just reach for someone who is greater. Because all I told him was like, hey, we just got to call the police. And the police showed up. You would have thought it was like a murder scene. Like, it was like, there was like 12 cop cars showed up. There's the tow truck showed up. Like, it was crazy in that moment. But what I wanted to show him was like, hey, what we need to do is not try to assume control, but accept the help in this moment. And that's what it looks like to humble ourselves before God. It's not choosing to control the narrative. It's choosing to trust in the one who already is above and has written the narrative of our lives. It's coming to God and saying, listen, I'm in a ditch. But I'm going to get out not by my will, not by my hand, not by my strength, by being under the hand. That's what Peter is trying to connect you and I to more and more. But it begins with us humbling ourselves, releasing control. Releasing control. Because control is what we reach for when life feels uncertain. Control shows up when we have conversations in our heads about things that never happened. You've been there before? Control shows up when we obsess over outcomes we can't fix. Control shows up when we feel responsible for things we were never meant to carry, right? Right? And humility doesn't mean to stop caring. It means we stop carrying what only God can handle. That's what humility means. We stop carrying what only God can handle. And some of us, you're carrying a lot. You're carrying a lot. For instance, a lot of us, we carry this notion that it's our job to make everyone happy. You're not going to make everyone happy. We carry this notion that everything falls on you. Again, the Bible never tells us that we don't have responsibility. It wants us to free us from this illusion, again, that everything falls on us, and that's not true. There is a mighty hand behind everything, that's in everything, that's working all things according for his pleasure and your good as well. So the goal is, don't fight control, give it up. And that's how we remain under the mighty hand of God. Humility, it's trusting God's character, God's control, but also God's competence. Humility is trusting God's character, his control, and his competence. And so Peter says that, hey, you got to guard yourself. And the way you guard yourself is being under God's mighty hand. And that begins with the posture of humility. And now what he does is, after this particular verse, he doesn't bring up new ways to be under God's mighty hand. He's actually going to help develop this mindset of what it looks like to humble ourselves. Again, the main arc is to be under God's care, to be under God's protection, to be under God's leadership, to be under God's provision. And that begins with humility. But what does humility look like? And he begins, and he continues, in verse 7. He says, cast all, not some. Right? Last time I read the Greek, all means everything. Right, Logan? Not some things, not just, you know, a couple things. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Don't we love that? Cast all your anxiety onto him. Why? Because he cares for you. Point number two, the way that we're going to guard ourselves this year, guard yourself against anxiety. Anxiety is going to pop up. And if not anything, anxiety pops up every day for a lot of us. And for many of us, anxiety comes in different forms, right? Comes in different forms, and many of us were anxious about different things. But at the end of the day, there's not one person in this room that doesn't face anxiety. There's not one person in this room that doesn't face anxiety, and we all will deal with it. But Peter is encouraging us to guard ourselves from it. And how do we do that? Well, he's going to go into that in just a little bit. When I was younger, I used to love, I don't sound like a Christian when I say that. I used to steal from my brother all the time. And let me give a little bit of context of what I mean by that, when I stole from him. He used to have really cool clothes, right? And I was younger, he was older, he had all these nice clothes and nice shoes. And, you know, I come from a family of short people, so we're all the same size and we all wear the same clothes. So, you know, all my brothers, you know, we're all the same size. And, you know, every morning what I would do is, because he was older, he was already working, I was still in school, what I would do is I would wait till he would leave for work. I would sneak into his room and I would steal his shoes. And I would wear them to school. Oh, you should have seen me. I got all the attention. Everybody liked me. It was awesome, right? But here was the cost, right? He was my older brother, which means he beat me up every time he found out that I took something from him. And he used to yell at me and beat me up all the time because I kept stealing from him. I kept taking from him, right? If it wasn't one thing, you would have thought I would have learned like the first three times after getting beat up. No, I did it more and more and more. You're my brother. You have to love me, okay? Where are you going to go? I mean, you know, that's kind of was my mindset. But I kept taking. He kept beating me up. That just was our relationship, right? And anxiety, I've noticed from my own life, anxiety, it's like a thief. I think one of the biggest things that is so detrimental about anxiety is that anxiety is a taker. It's ultimately a taker. It's a thief. And it steals our joy. It steals our peace. It robs our reason. And when those things, when those categories begin to dissolve, we actually, we create more destruction inwardly than our circumstances ever could. We create more destruction inwardly than our circumstances ever could. And the root of our anxiety isn't just the situation itself. It isn't just the moment. It isn't just the event. The root of anxiety is this question: who or what is sufficient enough to carry you and to care for you? That is the real question behind all moments of anxiety. Who or what is sufficient enough to carry you or to care for you? And here's Peter's antidote to your anxiety: God himself, right? God himself is that one. Now notice Peter, he doesn't say you won't have anxiety. See, I believe we live in a world where we all just try to be anxiety free. Can I tell you right now, as your pastor who loves you, there is never going to be a moment on this side of heaven where you will never ever experience anxiety. And I think the reason why I want to say this is not to like to help you be, you know, just to manage your own anxiety. It's just this reality, friends. This reality to where you think that when you have it, you think something's wrong with you. And there's so many people that come up to me and they always tell me about their anxiety, always tell me about their mental health, and they're like, and they always felt like they're the only one. And then I put my hand on their shoulder and I said, I'm in the same category. Right? Now, Peter never says you won't face anxiety. He doesn't, he assumes that you will face it. You're gonna face it. But he says to cast it. You don't manage anxiety, you cast your anxiety. So the moments where you feel the most anxious, the goal isn't to doom scroll, the goal isn't to numb, the goal isn't just to run to complaining. No, he says to cast. Now, it's very interesting. This word casting is kind of a fisherman language. Who was a fisherman in the Gospels? Peter. Peter was a fisherman, right? And his word cast literally means to throw away, to throw off, right? You know what the imagery that I love about this? Because when we think about anxiety, we go to, we say, all right, God, I'm going to pray about it, but I'm going to keep thinking about it. We're not casting. We kind of got one hand on it. One finger on it. You know what I'm talking about? God, I'm coming to you for this problem, but I'm going to keep thinking about this problem because I think if thinking about it is going to make it better. So I give it to you, but I'm really going to hold on to it at the same time. No, casting means let it go. Because when a fisherman casts, they don't just hold on to the net. No, they cast it. I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know, you know, fisherman language and everything. I know we got fishing poles nowadays, but in ancient days, what they would do is they would throw it. Wait for the fish to come. And in the same way, what he's saying is, you're going to face anxiety, but you need to be really good at not being consumed by anxiety. And the way you don't become consumed by anxiety is that you're casting it more and more. But here's the truth about this casting. Here's the beautiful part about it. Casting your anxiety isn't just to feel relief. It's to receive God. That's the beauty of casting your anxiety. It's not just telling God your problems. It's inviting God into it. It's not just telling God what's going on in your life. It's telling God, I need you now, right? The goal of anxiety, the goal of casting it, the goal of giving it isn't just to tell him what's wrong. It is to experience him in that moment. Why? Because the more I think about God, the more I cast my anxiety, the more I am thinking about God, the more I'm actively thinking about his character, his promises, his care. It's this exchange. It's this exchange that when I feel the most anxious, and friends, I myself, where I feel the most anxiety nowadays is with my boys. And yes, they get on my nerves and they're crazy, but I pray for them. I pray for that God would protect them from this dangerous, dark world that we live in. Every moment I turn on the TV, something happens. And the first people that I think about are my children. And the first thing that I say to myself is that I gotta do a better job at being a protective father, a stronger father, and all that is fine, and all that is good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here's what I need to do ultimately when I'm facing anxiety in that moment, is I come to God and say, Lord, I am distressed and discouraged by the weight of this world, and I pray that I can be the father that I need to be. But more importantly, I pray that your hand would guide them in everything. What is that? That's releasing. Because what does anxiety do? Anxiety, it exposes our need for control, but it also teaches us to trust God as well. Because in that moment, I just want to control. I just want to keep them from the world. If I could, you guys ever see that movie Bubble Boy? I wish I could do that with my kids, but I can't. But what am I doing at the moment? I'm admitting, all right, I don't have control, but I know there's a hand that cares for them. That's what casting your anxiety looks like, right? It's trusting God. This is what it means when we cast our anxiety, when we let go, when we just give it to God. Listen, casting anxiety is trusting God with what you cannot carry on your own. Which you cannot carry on your own. So Peter says, all right, friends, you got to guard yourself this year. You got to guard yourself. How do you guard yourself? You got to be under God's mighty hand. Not look at God's mighty hand. Not talk about God's mighty hand. Not just think about God's mighty hand. No, actually be close to it. Be underneath it. So close to where it's like touching you. Like that's how close you need to be. Why? But how do we do that? We got to posture ourselves. We got to position ourselves with humility, right? And how do we humble ourselves? We got to do a really good job at casting our deepest worries and problems onto him. Not saying everything is meant to be handled by me, but saying to ourselves, God is the ultimate in my life. But then he goes on, he says this. He says in verse 8, he says, be sober-minded and alert. Point number 3. Here's what we're going to have to do this year. You're going to have to guard your mind. You're going to have to guard your mind. Peter says spiritual growth requires mental clarity. If you want to grow, your mind's got to be clear. Now, notice Peter uses this language, sober-minded. Now, for some of you, we don't use this every day. I can't remember the last time I heard sober-minded. As a matter of fact, it's one of Peter's favorite words to use in his letter. Now, when he says sober-minded, he's using this word intentionally, right? And he's actually borrowing the language from with the opposite of being sober, which would be intoxicated, right? When you've had one too many, right? Right? The opposite of being sober is to be intoxicated. When someone is impaired, And we know, or maybe we've experienced, right, when someone is impaired, listen, they're not thinking clearly, right? Their judgments are off. Their reactions are slow. Their awareness is dull. Peter is saying, be intentional about what fills your mind. Because what we repeatedly allow into our minds will eventually shape our attitudes, our reactions, and our choices, right? Casting, that has all to do with your carrying. Being sober-minded has all to do with your consuming. Does that make sense? So we gotta be clear-minded. Is what Peter says, right? Right. We have to fill our minds with ultimate truths. One of our favorite passages, everybody's favorite passages, is in Philippians chapter 4. You know, in Philippians 4, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We love that. We love that passage. It says, be anxious for nothing. Amen. Keep reading. Because Paul actually says, all right, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever those things may be, think about those things, right? See, in a modern society, we live in a society where it talks about meditation as emptying the mind. The Bible never speaks about emptying the mind. It speaks about filling your mind with greater truths, right? See, anxiety isn't empty my mind. No, it's fill it with something greater, right? Fill it with something greater. Fill it with the sobering truths of God's care, of God's control, of God's nearness, of God's hand, right? We got to be intentional with our minds more and more. And Peter says, be sober-minded so that you can be alert. Because the clearer our minds are, the more alert we can be. We can recognize the dangers, we can discern more, and we can resist as well. Now, what are we needing to guard ourselves from as we guard our minds? He says in verse 8. He says this, verse 8, look what he says. Be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil. Uh-oh. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's pretty explicit language right there. What is Peter trying to say? Peter's not trying to scare us. Peter's telling you about your real enemy. And here's last point of the day. We need to guard ourselves against the real enemy. Because, friends, the enemy to your growth this year is not your circumstances. The enemy to your growth this year is not the people who you live with. The enemy to your growth this year is not the person that you work with. It's not the person that gets on your nerves. It's not the person you keep getting into social media wars with. The enemy to your growth is the unholy one. Now, I know Christians, they can have a really, really unhealthy desire when it comes to talking about the devil and Satan and all of that. You know, you ever heard Christians that blame everything on the devil, right? It's the devil's fault, you know, da-da-da. Like, no, it's called Taco Bell. That's why you have a stomachache. Don't blame that on the devil. Like, stop. Like, come on. Like, you're being ridiculous, right? It's the devil's fault. No, that's called a hangover. Like, relax. Like, you need to, don't do that. Right? And while yes, you know, sometimes we can overcomplicate this, this is still a great reality. And the great reality is this, friends. As much as you have a God that is for you, there is an unholy enemy who is against you. And Peter calls him your adversary. Now, an adversary, here's the one thing you need to know. An adversary, they don't fight fair. They don't fight fair. They fight with accusations. You ever had somebody lie, tell lies about you? And how much that hurts? When they say things about you that are just completely true. And here's why Peter wants us to be clear-minded. Here's why Peter wants us to be alert, so that we can be more aware and guarded against when the unholy one wants to attack. And he attacks through deception. And through those deceptions, he tries to do two things. One pastor said this, and I love that he said this. He said, the devil can only do two things. He can't destroy you, but he can distract you and discourage you. And how does he do that? Through lies. Jesus calls him the father of lies, that he's been lying ever since the beginning. He wants the greatest threat to our growth is not anything except for the unholy one, and he wants to speak to us and undermine our trust through lies. The lies about God, the lies about ourselves, the lies about your future to discourage you and distract you. But here's the truth, friends, here's the truth. His greatest weapon is deception, but your greatest weapon is truth. Because to counter the lies, you must expose yourself to truths. To counter the lies, you must expose yourself to truth. How do you do that? Cast all your anxiety. To get God's truth. How do you do that? Humble yourself. Be near God. How do you do that? Be sober-minded. How do I get more of God's truth? Be sober-minded. Be intentional with my thoughts. Cast all my anxieties onto him because he cares for me. That's the truth. Be under God's mighty hand because I'm under mighty hand. That's the truth. That's how we guard ourselves through this deception more and more. And our growth this year depends on God's mighty hand. Being near it and under it more and more. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. I pray that today that we would remind ourselves of this great truth. Your mighty hand is above, involved, and in charge of every part of our lives. And Father, give us the clarity and the courage to live and postured under your mighty hand. And let us be people who are constantly casting anxiety, not being consumed by anxiety, not trying to distract ourselves from anxiety, but allowing anxiety to be the place where we seek you and give to you the burdens that we try to carry on our own. And Father, today I pray also as well that we can be people that as we cast our cares, that you will give us a clear mind, sober mind, on your great truths, to receive peace and be restored to reason and joy. And Father, I pray that above all, you would protect us from the unholy one who wants to destroy everything you give to us. And Lord, our victory comes not from our hand, comes not from our will, but from your mighty hand. We endure, not because we're so strong, but because you're so near. We grow, not because we're so wise, but because you care. So help us to be more dependent on this reality, and that we would live this year under the mighty hand of God. In your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.